Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. And whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. A way you can learn about the ways we are churched together is through your bulletin. There are all sorts of calendars and announcements that tell you more about our worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. And there will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship to receive any questions or comments that you might have. A few announcements for this morning also include a reminder that the annual congregational meeting is next Sunday. We will also have a soup, salad, dessert potluck. Bring one or all three to share. And annual reports are now out on the table in the hallway, so please grab them. And how about you guys? Start us off.
Okay, so the coffee house was last night, and there's still plenty of desserts left.
And it was one of the greatest coffee houses ever. We raised over $1,200.
So buy those desserts too, though.
Eric. Good morning. I'm up here on behalf of Public Worship. I'm Eric Vale. There's two things this morning. First, I emailed out a whole bunch of schedules for this year for ushering, communion service, and door greeters and lay readers. If you didn't get one by email, out on the table underneath the TV, there are several with names on them. There are also several without names on them. So if you didn't get an email, you don't find one with your name on it, please grab one of the ones without. And then secondly, we also still have a lot of blue hymnals, the hymnals we used to use. And I guess the message wasn't clearly received that if you would like a blue hymnal, please take one. They don't have to be one that you had a book plate put on. There's a couple of boxes, again, around the corner that are out there. So help yourself, take them, because we're still looking for a church that is in need of those as well. So if anybody knows of one, please let Public Worship know. Thank you.
I'd like to remind senior highs that today is the deadline for signing up for the retreat. If you forgot your form, there's some in my office. Also, meet us after Sunday school for church school for a trip to Glogoff. So, meet in the senior high lounge. Thanks.
Seeing no other announcements, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our whole entire selves to worship God. please stand if you are comfortable and able for the call to worship that is printed in your bulletin. God calls us by name to come.
In trust, we respond with songs of praise.
Jesus wonders, what are we looking for?
In obedience, we long to follow him.
The Holy Spirit descends upon us.
In hope, we come to worship.
Join with me the prayer of confession that's printed in your bulletin. Lamb of God, we say we want to follow you. We confess we don't always trust you know where you are going. We grow impatient with slow outcomes and anxious when we don't know what we are looking for. Invite us yet again to come and see the possibilities you have for our lives. Please join me now in silent prayers of confession. Come, dear friends, and receive God's grace. The Spirit of God rests upon us, anointing us with mercy and peace. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Forward. So glad to see each one of you. I brought something to show you today. It's a shell, and not just any shell. Seashell. You saw that in your classroom? At your grandpa's bathroom, you had one. The same one? No. Well, actually, it probably looked like this one, but I actually found this on the beach in North Carolina. I was walking on the shore one day. Sun was out. It was beautiful. The water was coming up on the shore, and I was looking for shells. I love to look for shells, and there's lots of shells on the beach in North Carolina. And usually I find a lot of shells that look kind of like this. Yeah, nah. Not so exciting, right? Tiny. It looks like a rock. It's not a rock, but it looks like one. I agree. Tiny. Very tiny. Wow. That's exactly right. Usually I find tiny shells. But one day I was walking and I found this shell. A conch shell. And not only that, I mean, sometimes you can find conch shells, but usually they have like holes in them. And sometimes the top's not on them. But this one looks pretty good. It only has one tiny little hole in it. Can you imagine how excited I was? I was very excited. I took my shell and I went back home and I opened the door and I screamed for my family and I said, come and see what I found. I was so excited. They got pretty excited too, probably because I was so excited. Yeah. So, have you ever found something that you were so excited about that you just had to tell someone? Your easy bake oven for Christmas. Absolutely. You found a shell in your backyard. That's really cool. Well, there's a story in the Bible about some men. And those men were walking along and saw another man named John. And John said, look, there's the Son of God. There's Jesus. Well, the men weren't so sure that was true. And so they decided, you know what? Let's just go hang out with this man. And they did hang out with him. They did go and see if this was Jesus, the Son of God. And they decided, yes, in fact, yes, it is the Son of God. It is Jesus. They were so excited. One man's name was Andrew. Andrew was so excited about it that he ran home and he told his brother Simon, guess what? The Son of God is right here in our town. And everybody was so excited. Well, I know how excited I felt when I found my shell. And I'll bet you know how excited you were when you got your oven bake, your bake, easy bake oven. Just imagine how excited Andrew was when Andrew discovered that Jesus was right there among them. And you know, I think God wants us to get excited about Jesus and wants us to tell people about Jesus and the way Jesus loves us. So let's have a prayer. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. Help us to tell other people about Jesus. Amen. All right. You may go to your classes. The first reading of the word this morning is from Psalm 40. I wait patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my foot upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you have not required. Then I said, here I am. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will. O my God, your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from me. Let your steadfast love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever.
Our second scripture reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of John. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John testified, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, look, here is the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, what are you looking for? They said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. And it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. I decided that that could be my theme song. As it turns out, it's quite the theme song for the Gospel of John as well. Seriously, every time I'm getting ready to go somewhere, one kid's shoe but not the other, the dog leash, the book I thought was at home but was really at church, usually it's my cell phone, but more often it's my keys. Come to think of it, Carol Ann, this could be your theme song as well. When U2 came out with this song in the late 1980s, some hailed it as a theme song for an entire generation, a generation desperately looking for something they haven't been able to find, or perhaps aren't sure what they are looking for in the first place. I have to confess, when it first came out, I wasn't much older than my daughter, Lily, and I just thought it was a mushy love song, and this suspicion of mine was later confirmed when it was played at junior high school dances, and all the boys fled to one side of the gym and the girls to the other. And it wasn't until I was much later, until I was much older, and actually listened to the lyrics of the whole song that continue on, "I believe in the kingdom come, then all the colors will bleed into one. You broke the bonds and you loosed the chains, carried the cross of my shame. You know I believed it, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for." And then it dawned on me. This song is about our relationship with God. More specifically, it might be a very honest response to the first words attributed to Jesus in the Gospel of John, the very first words, which happen to be a question. "What are you looking for?" Jesus asks the two disciples of John the Baptist. Now, in terms of Jesus' life and ministry, this is where the Gospel of John begins, with a question. Each gospel writer and the community in which it was written begin with a different account of the Jesus they are looking for. Probably the oldest of the four accounts, the Gospel according to Mark, starts with the story of Jesus already being a grown man, coming from Nazareth and making his public debut at his baptism, as we celebrated last Sunday, with that voice from heaven announcing, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of Matthew starts with a story of genealogy. The Jesus they are looking for is well established in the Davidic line. Luke, as we heard all through Advent and the Christmas season, begins even earlier with an angel's announcement to Mary. Jesus will be conceived in her womb. And the story goes on to say the Savior we are looking for has come into this world as a baby and wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. Matthew will pick the story back up with that bright, shining star and the Magi coming from the east, looking for the one who has been born King of the Jews. And the last of the four accounts to be written, the Gospel according to John, in it we have a description of Jesus, not as one coming from Nazareth or born in Bethlehem, not as a baby born of earthly parents, not as a king sought after to be worshipped. Rather, the gospel begins looking for the one who is the true light. Echoing Genesis, it begins in the beginning. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning. Through him, all things were made." These are some of the most poetic words in all of the Gospels. And John continues that he was in the world, and through the world was, and the world was made through him, though the world did not recognize him. Recognition is a big concern for the world in the Gospel of John. Therefore, it might be helpful to ask the question, not just what are you looking for, but asking it in a slightly different way. Who are you looking for? The Jewish authorities ask John the Baptist, in the verses immediately previous to our passage this morning, "Who are you?" They ask over and over again, "Who are you? Are you Elijah? Are you a prophet? Who are you?" Where to even begin? Who am I? Who are we? John the Baptist could have easily given himself credibility with these Pharisees. He could have said, "I am John, son of Zechariah, the chief priest." But John doesn't define himself this way. John can only answer this question by defining his call, quoting Isaiah, "I am the one who cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." John not only answers this question in this cryptic way, but he does the same with Jesus the next day, where our passage picks up, to his followers. "Here! Here is the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world." The Gospels ask, "Who are you, John?" And the answer is, "I am the witness." And the next day he does just that. John testifies twice about what he has experienced, what he has seen, what he has lived. And his disciples begin to follow Jesus. And of course, Jesus can't help but noticing these two guys following him around. And he asks the question, "What are you looking for?" "I don't know." "Do they know? Do we? Do we know what we're looking for? You're here this morning, right? I think. Are you awake? We're here this morning. I assume that you are looking for more than just a reason to get up early, rush the kids out the door, trudge through the cold, and sit for an hour, okay, maybe an hour 15, on these wonderfully uncomfortable pews. So if I pressed you just a little bit, what are you looking for? How would you respond? Would you say that you're looking for a place where you can bring your kids so they can grow in faith? Maybe you're looking for a community where you can belong and be yourself. Are you looking to carry on the traditions of your family who has worshipped here for years? Are you looking for a worship experience with quality preaching and spectacular music? Are you looking for people who care about others, who care about the poor and the marginalized, and are actually doing something about it in a hands-on way to change the injustice of the world? Are you looking for somewhere that you can get away from your demanding job and your crazy busy schedule and find meaning in your life? Are you looking for people who care about each other when they're going through difficult times in their life? These are honest answers, and they're great. And I have no doubt that if that's what you're looking for, you're going to find it here at GPC. Though I wonder what would happen if we took that question outside of the context of what we are looking for in a church and asked, "What am I looking for in my life of faith?" Would we know? Would we know what we're looking for? Trevor Hudson, in his book, Questions God Asks Us, responds in this way, that in life we are constantly looking for something, seeking something, wanting something, something more, something beyond ourselves, something we don't have at the moment, something that will make us happier, give our lives more meaning, deepen our sense of significance. Seemingly, we are always searching for something that will enable us to live fuller, happier, freer lives. Can I get an amen? Our entire free market economy and advertising is more than well aware that we are looking for just that, and they are happy to provide the answers for us. And we literally buy into those answers the world provides. And we take for granted that they probably aren't going to make us happier, that this stuff isn't going to give us meaning, that it really isn't going to make us feel any more important. Our text this morning offers us that there are no real worldly answers to the questions. Maybe life and faith are more ambiguous. Maybe when all we are doing is looking for easy answers, we aren't going to find what we're looking for. There is, however, a living into the question. Resting, remaining, abiding, being present with the question as we live in our relationships. A relationship with ourself, our relationship with God, and our relationships with one another. Who am I? Am I too a witness of Jesus? What am I looking for? Am I looking for the Anointed One, the Savior, the Messiah? Who is in the path in which I will follow? And the last question asked in the passage, where are you staying? The answer was not a street address, but again, an invitation to come, be in relationship, come and see, come and experience. These are not the answers to life's biggest questions. This is the way in which we live into these questions themselves. The followers of Jesus weren't expecting an answer to a question. They were looking for something the world didn't offer them, an opportunity to remain, to abide, to be present with the questions. Because friends, if meeting Jesus didn't immediately answer every question, what makes us think that the world's going to do that for us? Christ has come, and Christ has called each and every one of us here. And this morning, I'm really thankful that we haven't found what we are looking for. Because morning by morning, God renews mercies, and the kingdom still comes, and Christ is still working alive in the world through our remaining, our wrestling, our searching, our moving, our stretching, our asking. Because not finding what we are looking for means that we are living a life abiding in God, not in the answers the world has defined for us. May it be so. Amen. this time we bring our prayers of joy and our prayers of concern to be lifted up here in this place, but also as we go out. I hope and pray you carry these prayers on your heart and continue to offer them to God.
Peter Derry, Irene sends her thanks for the prayers especially and for the visits, phone calls, and cards. She's feeling much better, looks a little bit bruised around the neck, as you would be, but is recovering very nicely, and she really felt the prayers from this congregation. So if you're looking for a place where a congregation cares, you found it.
Continued prayers for Irene.
David Keeling, this past week my mother went into surgery and her road to recovery has not been easy. She received a stomach bug also, which made complications even worse. So this past week she hasn't even been able to get out of bed or even get off the couch. So prayers for her, thank you.
Continued prayers for your mom, Damon. We've got one over here too.
We request prayers for Brenda's dad, George Vorhauer. On Thursday morning, his lower esophagus ruptured spontaneously. He had emergency surgery at Strong Hospital and has been in the ICU ever since. He's having post-op complications and needs your prayers. Thank you.
Prayers. We also ask for prayers for Ann Smith, who had another fall this week. And also prayers from our children this morning for play dates with best friends, for joys of meeting goals in Girl Scouts, for Pinewood derbies and Xbox games, sleepovers and birthday parties, for rainbow loom necklaces, and for all the vacuums that have to suck up those rubber bands. That's a mom prayer. Prayers for pizza for breakfast. Prayers for a Nana, whose leg gets better, and for Scott, who broke his thumb. Many prayers of joy and concerns from our children. Let us continue our time of prayer. Gracious God, you have enriched and enlightened us by the revelation of your Son. Comfort us in our mortality and our ever-present journey to struggle with life's questions. Strengthen us to follow you so that by word and deed we may manifest the gracious good news of your faithfulness and love. Holy parent of Christ, who asked the disciples, "What are you looking for?" and who offered the invitation to come and see, open our hearts to what you reveal and give us the courage to follow. By your Spirit, aid us in our journey, so that like John, our words and deeds point to the Lamb of God. For those who are suffering, let us point to Christ through comfort. For those who are hungry, let us point to Christ through bread. For those in the grip of despair, let us point to Christ through hope. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that your people, illumined by your word, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, so that he may be known, worshipped. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever, as we continue to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our time of worship by celebrating the abundance of gifts God has shared with us by offering them back to God. to hand you these prayers.
Lord, bless these gifts we give today. Through these gifts, help us to touch lives, make disciples, and transform the world. Help us shine in the lives we live every ordinary day, that others may be drawn to you. In Christ's name, amen.
Don't know what you are looking for, you're in good company. So let us go forth from this place asking the questions.
wrestling with God, assured that God is bigger than our questions. And so is the grace and the love and the peace that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit shows each and every one of us now and always. Amen.